Did you know that Apple have not released a single iPad in the year 2023? So it got me thinking, why? And what's in store for 2024 when it comes to iPads? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in this week's Studio Live Today podcast, which is what you're watching or listening to right now. Hello, my name is Pete Johns. This is the Studio Live Today podcast, where each and every week we get together and talk about something to do with creating, recording, and releasing your best music. And guess what? I use the iPad as my primary device for recording music, which means it's a pretty important part of my kit. And for many of you, it's pretty important as well. And we were all hanging out. We were all waiting to see what was 2023 going to bring. A new iPad Pro, a new iPad Mini, maybe a new iPad Air. Does anyone still like the Air? But we got nothing. And why was that? Well, that's what we're going to dive into in this week's podcast. If you're watching the video version, I would love it if you consider leaving a thumbs up and leave me your comments. Are you looking forward to buying a new iPad? Are you already happy with your current iPad? And which one are you rocking? Because you know what? People have a little bit of, I like my iPad and I want to keep using my iPad. But maybe you're in the market for a new one, and we'll talk about some of the rumors. Because the rumor mill is churning, and whenever the rumor mill's churning, it means that there's things being talked about what's going to happen in the future. So, why do I think that 2023 had no new iPads? Was it supply chain issues? Was it that Apple just didn't have the ability to create new designs? Were they low on chips? Do they want to put the M2 chips and the M3 chips into Macs? Did they just have no new ideas? Was it just an anomaly? Was it just a weird coincidence? Because normally we get some sort of iPad announcement usually around March. Sometimes we get another iPad announcement in October. In 2023, we got bupkis. And the main reason, I think, is just that Apple have now diversified into so many more products. If you look at the range of Macs that we have now with MacBooks, MacBook Pros, MacBook Airs, the Mac Mini, the Mac Studio, the Mac Pro, it's been a busy 1 to 2 years for Apple. And not to mention the fact that they've been bedding down their new Apple Silicon with the M1, then the M2, then the M3. This has all been in the last 4 to 5 years. So it's been a very busy time for Apple. And all the iPads that we currently have are pretty darn cool. I mean, I have this one at the moment. It's on loan from Apple, full disclosure. But this is the iPad Pro with the M2 chip in it. And this thing flies. Like, I have not come across a task, and I use my iPad pretty heavily, but I haven't come across a task I can't do with it. Everything from music to video editing to gaming, you name it, this does it. In fact, we're at the point now where the hardware is kind of outstripping the software. And I say all of that because I think that's the reason we haven't seen a new iPad. There simply hasn't been the need for it. When was the last time, if you've bought an iPad in the last 3 years, when was the last time you were like, oh, this iPad is so slow and clunky and I really need a new iPad? Yet I do remember when I was rocking my iPad Air 2 back in the day, optimizing performance in GarageBand, random dropouts in apps and crashes, running out of storage on the daily. And hey, maybe that's one of the things you're looking forward to, some more storage. I get you. I had a 64 gigabyte iPad Air 2 as a full-time music creator. It wasn't a fun time. I did a lot of offloading and downloading and uploading and reloading. It's not fun. So I think that's the main reason that in 2023 we didn't really see anything new, is that because we've seen so much development, if you look at the latest generations of iPad Pro, iPad Air, vanilla iPad and iPad Mini, they're all rocking amazing chips, be it the M1 or the M2 or even the A13, 14, 15 processors. These things really fly. They've got a lot more storage space now. Many of them are now rocking USB-C as the ports. So a lot of the things that we've been asking for a long time, which is faster processors, more storage space, and better connectivity, we've already got. We've also got the Apple Pencil 2, which came out a couple of years ago and is still amazing. And they did launch a new Pencil. In fact, the only iPad-related thing that was launched in 2023 was the iPad Pencil. But it wasn't the third generation. It was the iPad Pencil with USB-C, which is actually kind of like the Pencil 1. It's a confusing piece of kit, and I'm not really going to focus on it here today. So that's kind of 2023 and where we're at. So what's in store for 24? Well, let's go with the obvious stuff. The iPad Pro just it needs a refresh, even though this is the M2 model. The M3 is out now, and we know that the M3 chip that's in the MacBook Air is the one that doesn't require any cooling. It's not the Pro or the Ultra. It doesn't require cooling. It can easily slide into an iPad Pro as well as the MacBook Air. So I think low-hanging fruit, I know, but we're going to see a new iPad Pro in 2024, possibly launched in March. That seems to be kind of the word, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it later in the year. I think it's going to have an M3 processor, and I think everything else is going to be about the same. I don't think there's rumors of better like OLED screens, but to be honest, the Retina display on these things is already ridiculously good. The camera system in this is beyond what I need and what pretty much anyone that uses an iPad generally needs. And the only thing that I think they'll also change is what they did on the latest regular iPad is moving the front-facing camera up to the middle. So that when you're actually using it in the horizontal, which is where most of us use our iPads most of the time, at least from a creative point of view, you can actually use that camera as a front-facing camera without having to do a whole bunch of flipping around or looking over to the side instead of directly into the middle for a camera. So I think we're getting that. What about the Mini? Because the iPad Mini, the Generation 6 iPad Mini, which is a great little machine, it's been around for a couple of years now, and every sort of release, every Apple event, every launch, we get these rumors that will the iPad Mini be updated this time? And it keeps not being updated. And I feel a bit bad because what will our mums use to take photos if the iPad Mini is discontinued? Okay, I'm joking clearly, but not really joking. Love you, mum. But yeah, the iPad Mini is the favorite of a lot of people. A lot of people want that. But here's the challenge I see. This is the iPhone Pro Max. The iPad, this is a 6.4-inch device. The iPad Mini is 7.9 inches or now 8.3 inches. So it's not actually much bigger than the phone. Sure, the form factor is slightly different. But as phones get bigger, which I think is a little bit weird, the reason for having an iPad Mini is becoming less and less. Now, if you're rocking a really small, like old 4-inch screen iPhone, and you've got a big 8-inch screen, double the size screen of an iPad Mini, that kind of makes sense. But as our phones get bigger and we do more things, it's hard to see what you can do with an iPad Mini that you can't do with an iPhone, especially a larger sized iPhone. So does that mean that the Mini's on the way out? I don't know. In fact, I don't think so. In fact, many people speculate not, but they think it's going to change, and I'm burying the lead. Hey, if you've looked at the title or the thumbnail, you know where we're going with this, but I'm doing that YouTube content creator thing where I deliberately bury the lead because we're just evil. That's just how we roll. Like, we could just come out and say, but I'm not going to. So is the Mini dead? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it might be reincarnated, or it might just get a little tweak, a little upgrade to a version 7 that's just got a couple of additional things in there. But it is a big jump because they would have to go to an M2 or an M3 processor in the Mini. And is anyone needing that level of power but also wants a small screen? I just don't know anymore. What about the iPad Air? Have you checked out the Air lately? It's confusing. So the way it used to be is that there was the iPad and then the iPad Pro and the iPad Air and the iPad Mini, and there's just too many iPads. Now, the iPad Air has kind of taken a big jump forward. As soon as the iPad Air went to USB-C and then went to the M1 processor, it's basically an iPad Pro now. There's very little difference. It used to be that the iPad Air was slightly better than a regular vanilla iPad and a long way underneath the Pro. Now that gap has closed to the point where I'm not sure who it's for. I'm not sure who's going to go out there and buy an iPad Air, the latest generation iPad Air, and not just fork out the extra few hundred and get an iPad Pro. If you're a creator and if you're a professional, you probably want the Pro just for the larger screen size, the more screen real estate, the better quality screen, and the better processor. But I don't know who's actually waiting for the iPad Air to be updated. And if it gets updated again, let's say it goes up to the M3, an iPad Air with M3, what's the Pro doing then? Where does the Pro fit in then if your iPad Air is going to have an M3 processor? But if they keep it on like an M1 or an M2, I don't see the relevance of it. So I would say that the iPad Air is not long for this world. I envisage a world where it's iPad Pro and iPad. And that's definitely the old Steve Jobs way. I think since Tim's come on board, there's been a removal of that whole keep it simple. Remember the days where it was like the MacBook or the MacBook Pro? And then the MacBook Air came out and there were three. And now there's the Pro and the more different Pro and all the different Airs. And every time they release one, they keep the last chip cycle. So at the moment, if you go and buy a MacBook right now, there's like seven different models you can choose from. I don't think I'm even exaggerating. I think there's legitimately seven. It gets really confusing. And if you're buying an iPad right now in 2024, my goodness, is it confusing. On that topic, if you are buying an iPad in 2024, number one, head over to my gear guide, studiolivetoday.com/gear. You can actually dive in there to Amazon and eBay. A lot of the refurbished models that you can buy are really good. And if you don't want the latest and greatest, or if there is a new announcement in, say, March, it's a great time to actually buy the previous model, because a lot of people will have very lightly used M2s and M1 models that they would probably be wanting to sell. So buy with caution as always, but if you'd like to use the gear guide, you're welcome to, and they will break off a chunk and send it my way. So full disclosure on that one, but studiolivetoday.com/gear is the place to go. So what would I buy in 2024 right now? Well, I love the Pro. I mean, I love my Pro. I have a Pro, but I also have this Pro Loner. So I've got the iPad Pro 2020, which is the last of the A series processors. And I also have this M2 iPad Pro. They're both great, to be honest. Even my 2020 iPad Pro with the old A13 processor, it still flies. It's still great. It still does everything I need it to do. So I think the iPad Pro is great. And I think if you want to buy something and you buy it now, I think you'd be absolutely fine. I would probably wait till March if you absolutely can, because we may see the M3 version, which may just push down the price of the older versions or allow you to get the latest and greatest. But guess what? If you're an average, there's no such thing as average, but if you're a creator and you're getting into GarageBand, or you're even getting into Logic Pro on your iPad, or you want to do some editing with LumaFusion or Final Cut Pro, I honestly think that the vanilla, the regular iPad, is the sweet spot right now. It is so affordable. And since they've made the recent upgrades and changes and given it USB-C, it has all the connectivity of an iPad Pro. And the processors they're using are like from the Pro version a couple of years ago. So the latest version of the regular iPad for the price, it's actually a really good deal, and I would definitely consider that. And you know what? For a budget, both my daughters have the previous two models of iPad. I know it gets very confusing here. The seventh gen, eighth gen. I tell you what, I'm someone who's supposed to know all this stuff, and I even get confused with the generations. But they've got the second to last and the last Lightning models. Let's put it that way, of iPad. Those things still fly along. When I need to just grab something and get some quick editing in LumaFusion or do some GarageBand stuff and their iPads are lying around, you better believe I'm going to grab them and use them, because they work great. So yeah, your regular vanilla iPads. What I wouldn't do is buy an iPad mini, because I really think that they will either be phased out or get an upgrade. And I don't think I would buy one right now. And I really don't know who's buying the iPad Air. If you're buying one, let me know. Tell me. If you're watching the video, let me know in the comments, or hit me up on email, pete@studiolivetoday.com, if you love the iPad Air. But I honestly struggle to see a world where the iPad Air needs to exist in the future. So Air dead, mini dead, maybe. Yeah, what about improvements? We talked about the Pro. What else is coming to the Pro? So maybe an improvement to the screen, higher resolution. It's already pretty high resolution. Improvement to the OLED. It's already got a very nice OLED screen. Are we going to see improvement to that? The one thing that I hear rumored, speaking of the rumor mill a lot, is a bigger screen. So a bigger 14-inch. That seems to be the sweet spot that people are talking about, like a 14 or a 14.1-inch screen. Now, I'm holding up, for those watching the video version, the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. I think that this is absolutely abundant levels of screen real estate for me, and a lot of people agree that this is what they want to use. If you're using GarageBand on here, if you're using Logic Pro, there's just a whole lot of real estate that you have here. Yeah, for those watching the video, the green tracks there are not playing nicely with the green screen is looking kind of fun. So do I personally covet and desire a 14-inch, a larger? Well, no, because I actually came from the 11-inch iPad Pro and I'm now on the 12.9-inch. So I guess I'm in that phase where I'm actually loving the additional space that I have over and above my old 10 and 11-inch iPads. But maybe there is something there. And especially if you're pairing it with a Magic Keyboard or a keyboard case of some sort, and you're turning it into a laptop style device, which a lot of us use, a lot of us have some sort of Logitech or Apple Magic Keyboard, Folio Keyboard. So we turn our iPads into a little laptop, and 12.9 inches is okay for a laptop screen, but 14 or 15 inches is better. But why would we want to do that when we can't run Mac OS on it anyway? And let's just dive into that. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off of that, because the other rumor that has circulated for so many years is, why can't we run Mac OS on our iPads? Because they have the same hardware. So if you have an iPad right now with an M1 or an M2 chip, or you have a MacBook Air with an M1 or an M2 chip, guess what? Those two devices are so close to identical. As far as the infrastructure goes, as far as the processor and the memory and the storage, it's the same. In fact, I'm in the position, the weird position, where I have a Mac Mini. That's an M1 with 256 gig of storage and 8 gigabytes of RAM. My iPad is an M2 with 2 terabytes of storage and 16 gigabytes of RAM, which is very weird to think that my iPad has more processing power than the Mac computer that I'm using to record this right now. And that just kind of blows my mind a little bit. And it really does make me think, why don't we? And it's not that they can't, it's that they won't. And why won't they? Well, there's a couple of reasons why Apple won't put macOS on an iPad. Number one, it's not a touch interface designed and optimized operating system. And as much as they could put it on there tomorrow, and look, I bet they do. I bet in their labs they have iPads that are running macOS right now, because they would be dabbling with this sort of stuff. As much as they say it's not a touch interface, you have to use a mouse and keyboard, you have to use a keyboard, you have to use a mouse, people will try and go, oh, well, it's clunky, it doesn't work because it doesn't work with the touchscreen. So that's kind of point one. And if you flip that around and say, well, why on earth then don't they release a MacBook with a touchscreen? Why don't they have the best of both worlds that way? Well, because Mac OS would need to be completely redesigned and reoptimized to work with a touchscreen. At the moment, it doesn't. And if you remember Windows 8, you know exactly why you don't want to just go half-assed at trying to create an operating system that is both keyboard and mouse and touchscreen without it being fully optimized for one or the other. Who was there? Who was there with me in Windows 8 land? So we're not going to see a touchscreen MacBook, and we're not going to see macOS on the iPad. Is that really true? Well, let's just say they did. How would it work if they did? So it could be similar to what we see. So for those that aren't aware, there's universal apps now that are able to run on both macOS and iPadOS. And when Apple launched this, people like me were so happy. We were like, yes, I'll now be able to run all my iPad and iPhone apps on my Mac. It's going to be amazing. But guess what? They made it opt-outable. And guess who opted out? Almost everyone. I mean, there's some cool people like LumaFusion and some cool plugin makers that said, yep, we're going to make our apps universal. You can run them on your Mac. It'll be all good. And they are. And they work pretty well on the Mac. Not perfectly. Why? Because they're designed for a touch interface. So let's just say that Apple said, okay, we're going to give you a bigger iPad Pro and we're going to give you macOS mode on that iPad Pro. Ooh, macOS mode. And that could work like you hold down a key when you turn it on, or you go into a setting and you say switch to Mac mode. And then it only works when you're hooked up to a keyboard case. Let's just say that. Let's say they would do that. You have to have a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse. You have to actually have it that way around. It has to be landscape. They would put some limitations in it, and then you could just run macOS. What about the file structure though? There's where you start getting the complexities. The file system, the iOS and iPadOS file system, is very different. It's far, I would say, inferior to the macOS or to Windows or NTFS or any other file system. It is improved. when with the Files app integration that came in iOS 11, it improved, but it's still not there. So if you're trying to do file management, if you're working with files, if you're moving files around, the file management on iPad is very different to that on macOS. And it may seem like a small thing, but it's actually a pretty big thing. If you think about it in terms of how you use your apps and how you use files and how you use folders, how your iCloud drive and integration would work, it's not that it couldn't work, but it would be very clunky if it wasn't implemented correctly. And that's something I don't think Apple want to be involved with. So I think that's kind of a couple of things that I think about when I think this sort of thing. I also think that if they did it, they would make it opt-inable. So there'd be apps that you just wouldn't be able to run. For instance, they are not going to allow Logic Pro for Mac or GarageBand for Mac to run on an iPad running macOS. Why? Because they've got fully touchscreen customized versions of those apps that you can run on your iPad. So it gets to the point where it's diminishing returns at that stage. Would I still love it? And would I work around it and find a way to use it? Yes, because I only use my Mac for things that really need the Mac to use. So things like doing live streams, things like recording podcasts, things like moving files around and doing graphic design work in things like Canva, I find it much easier to do on the Mac. Everything else I pretty much do on the iPad. So if I could just flick my iPad into Mac mode, use the mouse and keyboard and just run even the web, even Chrome, even the full desktop version of Chrome, because let's be honest, as much as they say that iPads have the desktop version of Safari and Chrome and browsers and things, they really don't. They have limitations. And unfortunately, a lot of businesses that have their websites limit you. They try and detect that you're on a touch device and they won't let you use things the same way. So do I say all that to bring you down and just destroy all hope? No. Where there is light, there is hope. So maybe we'll see that in the future. But I just wanted to talk about it because I would love it. I think I would love it, but it's probably going to have its challenges as well. So what have we talked about? Let's just summarize before we talk about our last couple of things. So we've gone through the fact that Apple did not release any iPads in 2023. And my guess on that is just because their focuses were elsewhere. Let's not forget the Vision Pro. We kind of buried the lead there that a lot of development, a lot of marketing, a lot of time, a lot of energy is going into their brand new VR AR, virtual reality, augmented reality headset called the Vision Pro, which we expect to see this year, probably in the next couple of months, which is kind of crazy. So yeah, there's been less time to devote to iPads because they've got a new product line that's coming in, not to mention the Apple Car that will be coming in 2025. Oh, did I say that out loud? Didn't mean to. So yeah, do we think that the Air is going to continue? I don't know. Maybe they know something I don't know, and there's a subset of people that love the Air and they'll release a new Air. I don't think so. I think the Air's gone. The Mini in its current form, grandmas of the world unite, but maybe not. I think that might be going as well. In its current form factor, it's too small and it's not different enough from a phone. That's my take on that one. Larger screen for an iPad, I would give that about a 10% chance of getting over the line. I think Apple are very clear that 12.9 inches is enough for any iPad. And the one thing we didn't mention is USB-C. It's definitely going to fundamentally be across every device in Apple's future. The last Lightning-based iPad has been released. Simple as that. They will not be releasing any new Lightning-based anything, accessories, iPads, iPhones. It's all USB-C. The disappointing thing, I think, is that it is only USB-C and not Thunderbolt. And a lot of those USB-C connections are only at USB 2 speeds and not USB 3 speeds. So that really is a little annoying because it means that the USB-C, it's got better connectivity, but it's actually no quicker. In some cases, it's slower than what Lightning would do, which is a little bit crappy. But it does mean that no longer do I have to say Lightning to USB 3 adapter 400 times a week because everyone will be able to use whatever USB-C adapter they like. I like the Atola adapters, just quietly. Go to the gear guide, studiolivetoday.com/gear. We've buried the lead long enough. What do you reckon about a foldable iPad? Oh, it's the new hotness. Oh, everyone's talking about it. A foldable iPad. How good would it be? What would it be? Well, it would be the size of a phone, but it would fold out. And then you'd be able to use it. What ratio would it be? Would it be square? Would it be a bit elongated? Would it be like those real, remember those original Nokia smartphones that had a keyboard on one side and a screen on the other, the old clamshell designs? Would it be able to have a back screen, or would it just be completely enclosed? Look, depending where you look on the internet, you'll find different views and rumors on this. Let's go through the logistics of this. Number one, does the technology exist? Yes, there are foldable phones in both form factors, in both the folding downwards and the folding sideways folding form factors. Galaxy, Samsung have them, Google have them. Apple don't have anything in the folding screen world at the moment. Could they though? Yes. Does the technology exist? Yes. Will they? Question mark. We'll continue talking about that. Before we do, who is this for? Who wants this? Because here's the problem. You know how I talked about before that it's mainly the mums and the grandmas that like the iPad minis? And look, I know people are going to come at me. That's a very unfair assumption. I know there are many people that love having an iPad mini. It's a great size to slip into your purse or your satchel or your backpack and just take with you on the go. I would argue that the 8-inch versus a 10 or 11-inch iPad, it's not much of a saving, but the extra screen real estate is better. So I'm an iPad guy. If I was going to spend that amount of money, I'm not buying a mini, I'm buying a regular size iPad in 2024. But maybe some people are buying the mini. Here's the problem though. The market for people that want a mini, that want a device that small, is at the lower end. It's at the budget end. No one that's going to spend $2,000 on an iPad is going for a fully kitted out mini, or very few people are. You're going to go for an iPad Air or an iPad Pro if you're going to spend $1,000, $2,000 on it. What have we seen with foldable phones so far? They are at the high end of the price spectrum. A foldable tablet from Apple, whew, you think the $3,500 for the Vision Pro is pricey. I think that something like that's got to start at $1,000 US and go up dramatically from there. So let's assume it's an 8-inch, which is like a 4-inch foldable. So it's 4 inches, but you fold it out and you get 8 inches of screen real estate. I can't see that selling for under $1,000. And considering you can pick up an iPad mini from $300 and $400 right now that does everything that most people need it to do, I just don't see it happening. And I don't know, Apple have this way of creating products that I don't think there's a market for, and then suddenly a market pops up out of nowhere like a mushroom grows overnight in the rain, and then people are buying this thing. The Vision Pro is going to be exactly that. I'm going to be surprised, I know, right now, by how many people buy the Vision Pro. But as cool as, let's get past the fact that it's going to be super cool, because it would be. Imagine a foldable OLED iPad that has cameras on the back and a front-facing camera, and you can use it in either mode. Yeah, it would be amazing. It would be fun. But I don't know. Where would you take it? Why would you need that over and above? If Apple are going to do that, wouldn't they be better off doing that in a phone, making the iPhone a foldable? Having a foldable iPad just seems like you're trying to hedge your bets between two different things. And I don't know when someone would need a high-end device that they can use in a foldable mode. And maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe people will just be able to throw it in there and take it with them, and then just fold it up and use it like a little folded laptop style, and then just, you know, plug their USB-C stuff into that and record, and it'll be a great little mobile studio. But any better than an iPhone with a 6.4-inch screen already? I don't know. I'm not convinced. But I love thinking about it, and I love speculating about it, and I'm still going to keep reading all the rumors, and I'm still going to be hyped, and I'll probably get one when they come out. Why? Because that's what I do. That's my job around here, is to be the guinea pig, to try things out, to tell you what's happening. Am I buying a Vision Pro? No. Because do I think that's going to be relevant to a creator creating music and video and audio? No, I don't. But this could be interesting. So what do you think? If I had to give that a chance, you know how I said a 10% chance that there would be any like larger screen iPad Pro? I'm giving that a 5% chance. I think there's a 1 in 20 chance that we get a foldable iPad in 2024. I'll be very surprised, pleasantly surprised probably, and yeah, it will be intriguing because nothing has happened to the iPad form factor. The biggest changes to iPad since the very first iPad have just been the size of the screen, the power of the processor, the amount of memory that we have on there, the amount of storage, and maybe the pencil. So having the pencil, but that's almost like a step back, because when iPad came out, they're like, and no stylus except now when we've released a stylus. So I think that this would be the biggest change to iPad that we've had throughout that entire time. And it would be cool. Is it going to happen though? Is it likely to happen? I'd put it in the low likeliness category. But what do you think? I would love your views on this. There's so many things we can speculate on. We're definitely going to see something. If we get to the end of 2024 and I'm making a very similar video saying, gee, I wonder why Apple made no iPads in 2024. That I think has a 0% chance. I think we are going to see new iPads. They're going to be evolutionary and not revolutionary. It's iterative at this point. We're just going to chunk up from M2 to M1 and maybe to the M1 in the vanilla iPads. So it's not going to be groundbreaking. I don't see any features. And this is usually where, in 2 weeks' time, Apple announced some groundbreaking feature. It happened with Logic Pro on iPad. Just a couple of weeks after I said, Logic Pro will never be on the iPad. Mark my words. So what you can bank on is March 2024, we're going to have a foldable iPad mini. We're going to have a 14-inch iPad running M3, which also runs macOS. Because I said it wouldn't happen, so therefore it will. I hope you had fun just chatting and speculating about this stuff with me. Don't forget, if you're in the market for this or any gear, you can head over to the gear guide at studiolivetoday.com/gear. And I'm really keen to know what you think. Please, if you're watching the video version, leave a like, but also leave a comment. Tell me what you think. Are you in the market for a new iPad? Are you excited for a foldable? Do you think you should run Mac OS on your iPad? And if you're listening to the audio version, please leave a rating and a review on your pod catching destination of choice and head over to studiolivetoday.com/podcast if you'd like to subscribe. That's going to do it for this one. All that's left to say is what we say at the end of every show around here, and that is to be kind to yourself, be kind to others, keep creating, and I'll see you next time.